It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, our medical news of the week, you can't miss it. It's been on the news almost every day in the Midwest. This respiratory virus that is sending hundreds of kids to the emergency room and some of them ending up in the ICU on ventilators. Very frightening for parents. My guest and expert on this is Dr. Robert Glatter. He's an attending emergency physician at Lenox Hill Hospital, director of sports medicine and traumatic brain injury, and well-known medical contributor on many of the network shows and some of the big journals and magazines. So welcome, Dr. Glatter. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
So basically, it kind of burst onto the scene. We were hearing about it. I mean, you're on the East Coast. I'm on the East Coast.
Right.
But I'm sure people in Colorado and Kansas had been hearing about it for a while. So what? Talk a little bit about this virus, because it is a cold virus that, you know, usually causes summer colds. But what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, typically we see this virus during the anytime from July to August, the end of summer toward the fall. And that's classically when it starts to erupt. And it actually is related to the hand, foot, and mouth virus that causes hand, foot, and mouth disease, but it is distinct, and it also is distinct from the rhinovirus, the typical cold virus. It's actually a virus that lives in the GI tract, and it's very hardy, and it can survive stomach acid, and it can spread, actually, normally to other parts of the body, including the lungs, the brain, and even affect the heart. But this virus is distinct, and it doesn't really follow any classic patterns. In that, what we're seeing is a number of the clusters of infection, especially in Missouri, kids are not coming in with even fever. The majority are not. They're just coming in with coughing and wheezing. And those that have a history of asthma are the most at risk, and those are the patients that are typically being put in the ICU needing oxygen, breathing treatments like albuterol, fluids, and ventilators in some, you know, significant cases when they can't support their breathing.
Huh. And so this is a concern.
Yeah,
and this is enterovirus.
That's enterovirus, right, meaning from the gut, entero,
right.
Different than the rhinovirus, just a typical cold virus.
But it is... It is a cold virus, right? I mean, it's just this is a specific strain of this enterovirus.
It's the D68 or enterovirus D68, actually discovered in 1962 in California. And until now, it's really only been tied to small clusters of disease around the U.S.
Hmm.
And it's the first time it's really caused such widespread misery. And particularly, it's obviously hard on the lungs. And especially young children, typically around the age of 4 to 5 is what we're most seeing. As young as 6 months and up to the age of 16, there has been reports, of these this age range. But it's the very young, because their immune systems are not have not been exposed to this virus. And what we're seeing now with the school year starting, there is a high potential to spread this virus in classrooms and for kids to become ill.
Right, and the thing is, it's funny. It's just like when the H1N1 burst onto the scene several years ago, where in the past we said, oh, the bad flu was for older people. Older people, it was a reshuffled kind of virus, right? And older people had been exposed and had a little immunity, and it was young kids that were ending up in the ICU. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the young children that are at risk. But parents need to know that if their child has no history of asthma and suddenly develops a cough without fever and can't breathe, they need to go to the hospital, to the emergency department, to be evaluated. That's important to know and not to delay, especially if they see retractions or difficulty breathing, movements of the small muscles of the chest wall, the neck, where a child has to gasp for breath. Those are emergent signs that either child needs to go to the hospital or even, you know, in severe cases, maybe call 911. So it's very important that parents know this.
Now, but the majority, do you know, the ICU cases, most of the kids had some kind of prior respiratory issues, like asthma, was that?
Mm-hmm. Asthma seems to be the number one predisposing factor that will predict a difficult course with this virus. So that in and of itself is an important thing to know. And other children with a history of frequent bronchitis, bronchiolitis, could be at risk as well. But particularly it's the asthmatic patient.
Are those the ones that are ending up on the ventilators more in the ICU as opposed
That's what we're seeing. You know, in order for this virus to stop, it's really going to have to infect enough of the population to provide immunity, and then at some point it will burn itself out. So it could get worse before it gets better. And that's, you know, at this point what we're seeing is, you know, sort of a surge, and it may get a little bit, you know, more prevalent before it actually resolves.
Now, the question, so, and it's mostly in the Midwest, although I thought I read a report that Western New York, which Buffalo's almost in the Midwest, right? It's practically next to Ohio. I would call that the Midwest, even though I grew up and was from New York. We didn't, you know.
There have been small pockets reported. Now, to date, of yesterday, only 80 or so cases had been confirmed by the CDC. Now, that means that health departments can test for this, but they can't subtype this virus, in other words, the D68. So it could be some kind of an enterovirus, but we don't know if it's the specific D68 virus.
Yeah, but I remember during the H1N1, if your flu tested positive and it was a weird time for the flu because it was, you know, the summer, H1N1 came on in the summer, then they assumed that it was H1N1. And that brings up our next question. So this is a virus that's more like summer cold. Is it possible before it comes all the way, you know, east and west from the Midwest that just the virus itself won't create that much of a problem as we get more into winter? Because it isn't one of the more predominant wintry cold things.
Correct. We're hoping that this sort of burns itself out in the next few weeks. However, with, you know, flu season just upon us, toward mid to late October, we're hoping that this, you know, that the flu doesn't have an impact on those who are, you know, at risk for this virus, because that can make things worse. We don't know that as a fact, you know, how our flu season is going to be this year, but we're hoping that these seasons don't have any kind of overlap at this point.
Yeah, it's always tough. And in school, the beginning of school, you're right, the sneezing, I mean, we know how easily colds spread. So what kind of advice can you give parents for what to do? Because unlike the flu, there's no vaccine for this, and right now there isn't even an antiviral medication for it.
Again, it's a rare virus. It's making its appearance. It's just symptomatic care. In other words, treating fever, giving fluids at home. Again, the bulk of these infections are mild. Those that end up in the hospital will need breathing treatments and oxygen. It's important, though, to wash your hands, obviously, because this virus is in saliva, nasal mucus, and sputum. And anytime you touch a contaminated surface and then rub your eyes, nose, or mouth, that's typically the way you would catch it. So person-to-person contact is important, but also from surfaces. This virus can live up to a day on surfaces, and typical common cleaning disinfectants and detergents will kill most enteroviruses. So doorknobs, toys, computer surfaces need to be continuously disinfected.
Yeah, that's good advice. And for those people that don't wash their hands after they use the restroom, which is hard to believe that people still don't do that. This is
one important to those that change diapers. This is, you know, since the virus can live in stool feces, you must wash your hands anytime a parent changes a diaper. This is a way to transmit the virus.
Yeah,
even absolutely. Though it's a respiratory virus.
No, it's true, absolutely. And you see people in these changing rooms, they're using all kinds of wipes, they're changing their kid's diaper, and then they're packing everything in their bag when you see them in public restrooms and walking out. So brings up a very good point. So again, I want to thank my guest. It's important information. So basic precautions during flu season for sure. And don't, if you're at all worried about your kid, get them right to the ER.